He's really a blessing to the body of Christ and a good friend to us as well. And we want to bless you this morning, Hercules. And we're so glad to have you here, and we're excited to hear what you have to share with us. And I think it sort of comes into line with what's been happening. And we want to bless you this morning.
Thanks. Oh, thanks, JJ. So you guys are keeping up with JJ with all of his tricks. Okay, let's stand. Please, guys, let's just honor God. God, it's this morning a privilege just to recognize the cross and Jesus, what you came to do for each one of us. This morning we want to celebrate the cross and we want to celebrate what it does in our lives. Amen. Father, thank you for the many testimonies that went out. Thank you, Father, for the great work that you are busy doing in all of our hearts. And thank you, Father, that you are the Lord of your church. Yes. You are the one that gives direction. And we want to desperately just follow you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys. This morning I am standing, you know, we're standing at the back and just watching the kids dancing around. It was so beautiful just to see how they move in the grace of God. Amen. And just celebrate the presence of God. I want to make life difficult for the presentation guys there at the back. Can I get to the second song that we've sung earlier today? I just quickly want to read the words, because so many times I think we sing and we don't think what we are singing. And this morning it was just a conviction in my heart again about the greatness of God. Can I? The whole earth overflowing with your power and your glory. Next one. There's no one like you, God. There's no one like you, God. Go on. Mountains bow, nations tremble at your feet. We cry, holy. There's none like you, God. There is none like you, God. You know, when I, this morning, was standing there at the back, you know, I just again were reminded about the greatness of God, you know, and what God does in our lives. It's just amazing to have a God like that. It's great to see what the youth is busy doing. Rocco, you guys, it's amazing. You know, I was reminded about, you know, how I got into church. I remember years ago, the first time that I went into the Shofar congregation, it was still there in the Sunlam Hall, Karin. And I remember walking into the building, and there was a lot of students standing. And as I was, for the first time, coming into the church, people already started to mention me by name. And I realized that there was something wrong here. I realized that, you know what, things are not as it, you know, is looking from the outside. And soon to realize that there was a lot of people praying for me for years to get to salvation and to know the Lord and to know that God is the Lord of my life. You know, I've done a lot of things and I got saved at the age of 7. But it was such a precious moment when I was welcomed by the people of God. And this morning I want to commend you as a church, because I'm going to speak about embracing an apostolic culture. And as I've heard this morning, you guys are actually embracing that culture. And I want to just emphasize that. A lot of it is going to be teaching, but I want to remind you of those things. Now, I watched a program, I think it was last year, and they had this big celebration in America of about, I think, 5,000 people that went to a gathering of Billy Graham on his 95th birthday. And, you know, it was one of those moments when you listen to the man, and, you know, he started to speak about, he was sitting in a chair because he's very old now, he's very weak. They asked him, so, Billy, tell us, what is the message that you want to give as the pastor to the presidents? Because they mentioned he had about, I think, 10 presidents serving under him. And he was to all of them a personal pastor, where they got counsel from him, all the presidents of America and so many decades. And they said, "What is your message to America today?" And this guy was, you know, sitting in this chair so weak, and he started to share the gospel like he was sharing it when he was 21 years old. He was starting to just, out of his heart, out of the abundance of his heart, just unpacking, you know, the message of the cross. Just saying, you know what, it's all about the cross. It's about the blood of Jesus. America must get back to the cross of Jesus. Amen. You know, and it was so inspiring to me just to listen to this, you know, man that for so many centuries served the Lord faithfully, and now at the end of this age, you know, he comes to a place where he again just recognizes his Savior as the solution to the earth. Now I want to tell you, you know what? Our lives should be an act of worship. You know, it's so beautiful when I again, you know, read the story of Abram and Isaac that went to the mountain, you know, just a few weeks ago to the MTPs. And I read to them the story, and I said to them, you know what? If you listen to what Abraham did, he went to the mountain to go and worship God. An act of worship that went beyond the natural. The one where he was busy sacrificing his son, the only hope that he had. But he said, listen, I want to do it because I want to be so faithful to the God that saves me. You know, this morning I want to just tell you that there is an eager expectation for the world to see the manifestation of God. Amen. Romans 8 verse 23. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. You know, when the Holy Spirit came, and, you know, it's so precious, I don't think we always recognize what the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit means for us, not just as this generation, but for all the generations before us. The fact that Jesus came to this earth and he said, I cannot stay here, because if I stay here, I can only spend time with 12 men. I can only spend time on the limited 24-hour, 7 days a week tours that I'm doing all over Israel. But I have this desire to see all men saved, because that is God's desire. And he said, I will leave the Holy Spirit so that every day you will have an impartation of me walking with you. And we don't realize that. That Jesus wants to teach us every day. He wants to walk with us every day so that we can experience his fullness. Amen. And share that with the world. Amen. And therefore he said that we are the first fruit. We are the experience of that down payment that the Holy Spirit came to do, so that we can now already start to walk in the eternal life that God has given us. Because in living on this earth means that God is already giving us the deposit to experience the things that we are one day going to experience in heaven. But we don't realize it. You know, so many times we live so weak in this life that we forget that God wants to have heaven on earth. Amen. Through His Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's why, you know, it's so amazing to listen to the guys that went to the SOS, because every day can be an SOS experience. Amen. The one where you and I have such an expectation for the Holy Spirit and the deposit of the Holy Spirit, which is much more greater than having Jesus with us, because it's Jesus every day. Amen. And you know what? It says that the world has an eager expectation for that to be manifested. But through the fear of this world and us living in a society with a lot of pressure, you know what? We are losing the battle. I'm telling you, if you look at the world today, there's so many Christians living in such fear and trembling for what the world has to offer and the pressures of this world that they forget that God is greater than He is in the world. God is not withdrawing us from the world. He's putting us in the world so that we can be the empty vessels that He can work through. Amen. And therefore, I want to tell you, you know, having a church that represents an apostolic culture brings us back to just be reminded about what God did. And I want to especially just start with what God did 100 years ago. You know, 100 years ago, 114 years ago, Azusa Street, something amazing happened. In Azusa Street, guys like Seymour and Parham had many manifestations of the presence of God in an upper room where they asked God to give them the unknown tongues and to speak in those tongues and to see the manifestation of healings and the power of God busy happening in and through their lives. They waited on God, and you know, especially for us coming from traditional churches, we don't even know this history because we don't want to. And some of it just out of ignorance because we don't have the heritage that comes with it. You know, there in Azusa Street then, many people received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as it was in the Acts Church. And you see them sacrificially giving their lives for the work of the ministry. And for 20 odd years, you see the continent of America exploding, which we know as the Pentecostal movement. And mighty things started to happen all over the world, from Azusa Street to the east and to the boundaries of Africa even, where people received the impartation and the fullness of what the Holy Spirit had to offer. Amazing stuff happened, but I can tell you it came with a price. Because those families, many of them died of starvation. You know, just the other day was reminded about a story of a guy. Now I forgot his name. Here in South Africa, can you believe it? That started the AFM movement, John G. Lake. That went through a lot of hardship in those times, you know, giving his life, and today one of the biggest Pentecostal movements is because of those days of sacrifice. You know, guys that their families had to suffer, and then you look through the decades and you go to the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s, where people were starting to receive the blessing of the deposit that so many people before them did, in receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the sacrifice that went with it. These people, you know, you'll remember so many missionaries had the slogan that you, when you go to whichever part of the world, you will take a one-way ticket, never to return. Because wherever you will go and disciple people and make sure that those people will get saved in very unreached areas. And so here in the 1940s, 50s, you see what we know happened through these children of the martyrs that said, listen, we saw how our fathers struggled. So we know that God wants to bless us. And then in the 1960s, you see the picture of those kids starting to live in the prosperity movement, the faith movement, in saying that, you know, if God is with us, then we must have the manifestation of the fullness of God in our lives, even through wealth. So in the 1960s, you see the picture of so many Christians starting to get excited, not just about the Holy Spirit and the Pentecostal movement and what God did in the deposit of the Holy Spirit, but they started to get focused on prosperity. And now within this, in the height of 1948 and after that with Israel, and I can tell you, I don't know what God's business is with Israel. One thing I do know is that God has a plan for Israel. Amen. And there's many uncertainties and many people speculating about what Israel's role is in the last days, and Jesus will be returning to the Olive Mountain, and so many other things. But I can tell you, I don't know exactly what God's business is with Israel. I know that He has a plan and He has a covenant with Israel. Amen. But one thing that we as the people of God, the Christ-centered people, know is that there's a word through Micah and, you know, so many other prophets that said that Israel will again become a state. And so in the 1948, you see that Israel received their country again. And through the height of this, many people said, listen, this must be the end times. Because if Israel received their state back again, it means that the Holy Spirit and God will come to manifest himself physically to the people of God again, the second coming. And so you see a lot of people getting so excited about what we called Israelitis, focused on so much on Israel and Jews and the Jewish customs, that they forgot that Jesus is the Savior that will lead us into the season that is necessary. And yes, I believe that we are in the end times, but what happened after that was important for us. Because through the prosperity movement that followed in that, we see the charismatic movement. The people that said, yes, it's fine to have prosperity, but we can't just have prosperity. We must actually move beyond that to say that both are important. The manifestation of the gifts, the charismata, and also the blessings that came with it. And then at the end of the previous century, we see a twist, and that is what I want to speak to you about. And that is the one of apostolic reformation. And for us, that means that God is taking us into a time where he's restoring the acts of the first church. Which means that we must start to focus on our apostolic culture to receive back the heritage of God's deposit into the first church. And I love what God is busy doing, because I can see that God wants to bring the balance even through the fivefold ministry blessing the church. And I want to just say this morning, you know what, I'm so open to the power and the manifestation of God.
Amen.
But I want to just warn you this morning that it must not be our only focus. Because one of the deceptions that I see in the time that we are living is that people are focusing so much on the manifestation of God that they forget the God of the manifestation. And an apostolic church means, and I'm going to talk about a few things this morning, that will show you what an apostolic church means. The one of understanding that, yes, and I want to be very clear on that, one of the identifications of an apostolic church is the one of the manifestation of the gifts. If not so, then we are not the first church. But the first thing that I want to mention this morning is the one of do the things that the apostles did. You know, through the Reformation, through Luther and those guys, they said, if you want to be an apostolic church, make sure that you do exactly what the apostles did in the time of the apostles. And we'll be speaking about that. The church is an apostolic church when it focuses on Scripture and conformity to it. The church that understands that authority does not come through wielding our apostolic gift. And I want to be clear on that, because I've heard so many apostolic leaders all over the world talking about, you know, us and our powerful gift of the apostolic. And I just want to say to you, you know what? We don't will our apostolic gift to anyone. An apostolic manifestation comes through an act upon the will of God. Because with that comes an authority where we and you and I can walk in the truth of God, so that we can start to experience the fullness of the manifestation of the gifts. Are you with me? There's so many people in the church today that wants to be so powerful in declaring that there are apostles doing great stuff, and they forget that, you know what? We should just focus on the truth of God and the truth as the foundation of the church, so that God can establish his authority through us. And the fruit of that will be a natural outflow of the apostolic gift. Are you with me? So to start off with, I want to tell you, you know what? We don't teach, we don't preach, we don't do anything beyond the Word of God. Get back to the Word of God. People, if we want to be an established apostolic church, make sure that you start to get excited about the Word of God. I love what I've heard this morning. I loved sitting next to that guy at the back. I don't even know your name. I'm sorry. but just seeing how he's spending time in the Word of God. I love it. You know, last weekend I was at Durban, and a few Congolese guys sitting next to me, just to see how hungry they are. You can see their Bibles are even dirty and worked through, because they just love, they cannot get enough of the Word of God. Being an apostolic church is understanding that we must embrace and settle ourselves within the Word of God. You know, there's the apostle is the transliteration of the word apostolos, which means one who is sent out of the commission with the power to personally represent the one sending him, Peter Wagner, to do the things that the apostles did, to follow Jesus Christ. You know, well, one thing, if you look at the first church, that was so evident was their expectation for the manifestation of God in and through themselves, but for an eager awaiting for the coming of Christ. And I want to just mention it this morning. We as a church must start to celebrate the second coming of Jesus Christ, because it's soon. You know, and I just, you know, am so excited. You know, one of the things of the first church was that they greeted one another, Maranatha, which means until Jesus comes again. An expectation for Jesus to come back. Three things out of that eschatological focus of the first church. The one was that they recognized that they had an inability to fulfill God's promise without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If we want to have an expectation to be like the first church, we must have an understanding that we are nothing and God is everything, and we need His Holy Spirit desperately. The second thing is an expectation that the Holy Spirit will fall down and manifest God's presence through signs and wonders. The third thing, a desperate urgency regarding the second coming of Christ in their lifetime. Calling out Maranatha, a church and people with that expectation for Jesus coming back, an eager desire to see all men coming to salvation. And I can tell you, you know, this morning, when it comes to our desire, and we've mentioned it in the Shofar Online campaign now as well, we don't focus on issues, because an apostolic church does not focus on issues, but it focuses on the Great Command. And I see all over the world, so many churches focus on little issues and little doctrines and little petty doctrines and little issues that makes the church greater, rather than the Great Commission and focusing on what matters most, and that is to bring souls into the kingdom. Focusing on the bigger picture. And then having the vision and core values that God has given us. An apostolic church understands where it's heading. Now, I don't know if this morning you can tell me what this church stands for. And if not, it's time to find out. Because an apostolic church knows where it's heading. The whole gospel to the whole world. Understanding that, you know, our motto is to reach generations and nations. Okay, there's one person that understands that. Through discipleship making, leadership development, and church planting. And if we don't embrace understanding where we are heading and not focusing on, you know, smallish issues, we will never get to what God has called us to. Understanding that an apostolic culture is one that focuses on the vision that God has given us. Ephesians 4 verse 18. Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint in which it is equipped, then each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Having a church that understands the fivefold balance and appreciation of all the giftings represented. And spotting the potential before there's any sign of it. Listen to this. I want to read it to you. One thing that Peter Wagner said about the Apostolic Reformation. He said that apostolic churches train leaders on future prophetic in order to be obedient now. Listen to this. I want to just say it again. Please keep up with me. Apostolic churches train leaders on future prophetic in order to be obedient now. Traditional churches focus on past experience to define actions of the now. This is important to know and understand the apostolic church. Because so many times we want to be reminded of the history and we forget that God works according to the prophetic voice. He's leading His church into the end days. Traditional churches are heritage driven, while apostolic churches are vision driven. Listen to this again. Traditional churches are heritage driven, while apostolic churches are vision driven. Churches that knows what Christ has told them to be the focus, and they follow that. Not because of past tendencies and hurt and issues of the past. And I want to say to you, you know what? When it gets to this church, may this church focus on what God has called it for the future. Understanding that there's a church planting focus, and that means an aggressive outreach to a hurting community. The second thing that I want to mention this morning is the one of ascending church. Matthew 28 verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Receiving a commission. Go to the ends of the earth. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall it be, the saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Listen to this. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We don't believe as an apostolic church in churchianity. We're not here on a Sunday because we need to be here. Yes, we need to be here as well. But we are here to receive the salt that we are going to spread through our communities. Amen. And I want to tell you, you know what? If the church start to again move back to the point where we only bless one another on a Sunday, we lost our taste. And that's why an apostolic church understands that there's a community that we are busy transforming out there. I love what guys like Rocco is doing. Infiltrating the spheres of life. To bring the life of Christ as a reality to people's lives. And then, a culture of preparing the next. You know, there should not be rivalry among us. Because there's too much work. There's not enough laborers to do the work of the ministry. And that's why God said, ask for the Lord of the harvest to send the laborers. We must always be ready with two people underneath us that we are busy raising up so that they will be able to take our jobs. Can I just say it again? Work yourself out of a job. If you want to be kingdom-minded, and I'm not just talking about church, you must be at a place where you start to get excited about what God is doing in your workplace, because you are raising up the next generation to take over your job. We are so settled, and in our mindsets, especially as South Africans, we are so protecting our environment that we forget that God is raising us up to make disciples. To understand that we must always be at a place where we are replaceable. Where God can actually, use us to impart into others so that they can do the work that God wants to do. Amen. A culture of preparing the next. Working yourself out of a job. Releasing people to do the ministry of the church. The apostolic church is the one who understands raising up volunteers that serve. It was beautiful. I've mentioned how I got into the church, but listening to a guy just the other day, Sean, I think you've heard his testimony. He came to MTP and he said it was strange how he got into church. The one Sunday, he had a history. He worked for a very big engineering company in Pretoria. And, he remembered how there was this one young guy that came from Stellenbosch. And this young guy just every day hassled him about the gospel. And he said it was strange because he thought that this guy that he was supposed to mentor, was not even a great worker. But one thing that he did know was that, he did not stop. Every day he would come to his office, he would try to speak into his life. And he said that, he was a drug addict and he was actually, dealing with drugs as well. And then one day, the final straw was when this young guy came to his table and gave him some food. And he realized that, I was so, ugly with this guy. Many times I slammed the door in his face. And he said, this guy said to him, in the midst of his cross behavior over his life, this guy said, just come to me on Sunday. I want to take you to church. And he said he could not believe it because he was so ugly with this guy. He went to the church. He went to the church and he said the same thing happened that I've explained to you about myself. He said he came into the church. People were greeting him by his name. And then there was this one guy called CS at the church. And he said he was standing in the pews and it was at the end of the service and he realized that if he's not going to respond now, this guy is going to tell his whole story, his whole life story. And the longer he waited, the more this guy started to tell his life story to the whole congregation. And he thought, this was a setup. The beauty of the story was the ownership that the congregation took in understanding that, this is not just CS's convert. We've worked hard for it. We've prayed for this guy for over a year. We knew his name. And we prayed him into the kingdom. I can tell you, this church will have many victories if they start to embrace what God wants to do corporately. I remember going one night to Paul, and as I got there, I realized that I had the wrong sermon. I fixed myself, taking off my jacket because I realized that I had a Valdevid crowd in my mind, and all the young people were sitting there in a youth service. And I was prepared to talk about stewardship and business, and I realized that this is not going to work with a bunch of school kids. And that evening, I just went back to God quickly while the people were worshiping, and God gave me another word, and I prepared myself. I took off my jacket. I made sure that my shiners were not that clean. I went back into the building. I changed my preaching. And as I was starting to minister, God said to me, you know, just talk about David and his mighty men and the water that they brought. And I said, you know, I don't know tonight, but I just feel that God is saying to me, you know, that we must talk about David and his young men and the water. And the next moment, the whole church started to weep. I just saw that people, the tears were just running down their faces. Young people, like what I've experienced this morning, walking up to this building. So many young people just excited about what God is doing. I saw them crying. And the more I started to speak, I realized that, you know, this is a confirmation of what God was busy speaking to them the whole week. And the next moment, four guys, when I started to do the altar call, four guys jumped up and they ran to the front. Big guys playing for Boys Eye rugby. They came to the front and they stood together, the four of them, and they just wept. You know, and they received the Lord. And the next moment, I realized that the whole congregation was busy standing in faith for these four young boys that was in the first team playing rugby. And the word that God gave them is that they would be the mighty men of David. You know what was beautiful about it? Was what happened this morning through words that was brought to the front. You know, it's awesome always getting to congregations and you realize that, you know, God was already busy doing a setup. I love what you did, and we're going to do it at the end again, reading that scripture. Because we must become commissioned to be an apostolic church. And I love what God is busy doing in this church. You know, seeing how you guys are progressing, seeing how you are growing toward a place of vibrancy and excitement of what God is busy doing in your midst. I love it. You're becoming an apostolic church, and a church that understands to follow the ways of God. An apostolic church, thirdly, is the one who take lead. Romans 12 verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to you, everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individual members one of the other. And that's why only given authority to the extent of accepting the responsibility is important for an apostolic church. Listen to this again. You can only be given authority to the extent of accepting the responsibility for it. And that's what I love about what happened this morning. With young kids saying that I want to be faithful to the cause. I will start wherever, but I want to serve Christ. I want to be faithful. Trust is the root, authority, the fruit. The biggest difference between traditional Christianity and apostolic Christianity revolves around the amount of authority the Holy Spirit is perceived to delegate to individuals as opposed to groups such as boards and committees. Are you with me this morning? We receive functional authority as God delegates His authority to people in certain offices. And then taking ownership of the promise that God has given us. And then the giving church. Fourthly, the apostolic church is the one who gives. And this morning it was mentioned again. The one who looked beyond its own needs to understand stewardship, not as the one who must be stingy and turning the coin 300 times, but the one who understands stewardship as being obedient to the one who is giving the resource. You know, I love what you said this morning, Rocco. God gives us blessings to be a blessing. That we understand that when we as a church start to move, we move because we understand why we receive. Giving beyond ourselves. And then collective maturity. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 6, or Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Can I just read it again? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers over the present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Can I just quickly remind you of the different points? The first one, of embracing an apostolic culture. Do the things the apostles did. Then secondly, be a sending church, commissioning people to do the work of the ministry. Take lead in the society that you're in. Be a giving church, and then collective maturity. Being a church that understands that God gives you certain spiritual authority that you must take ownership of. I was just listening to a guy the other day, and I don't know if some of you have listened to some of his ministry, just talking about the prayer circle. And he said that he was speaking about a prophet in the biblical times that once went out of Jerusalem, and it was a dry time, and he went to draw a circle in the ground, and then he stood in the circle and he said to God, God, I'm not going to move out of the circle if you are not going to answer my prayers. I want to have revelation from you on the season of drought that we as a nation are going through. And he stood there for many days praying, saying, God, I'm not going to move from the circle. I'm not going to walk out of here if you're not going to speak to me. And then the next day, the water started to fall. And Jerusalem got some rain. And he was speaking about the fact that in Washington, they would go from one neighborhood to the next, to the next, to the next, and then they will walk around the neighborhoods and make sure that they proclaim and take ownership of it in the name of Jesus Christ. And as he was walking, you know, he said, on this corner, this was once a cinema, but today it's a coffee shop for the kingdom. All the converts that we through our churches receive, they come through this coffee shop and they get followed up and discipled. And then he went to the next neighborhood, and then he said, you know, on this corner, this was actually a bar, but today it's a church, one of our churches in Washington. And he was walking all around in the city and he said, you know what? We're not going to stop until Jesus becomes the Lord of this city. Amen. Apostolic understanding of taking ownership. The understanding of collective maturity, where we can start to just draw together and understand the promises of God and prayed into being. Yes. Walking from, you know, one neighborhood to the other and say, God, reveal to us. We are drawing the circle. We are saying, God, that corporately we're going to war until we see the breakthrough. Amen. And a person asked me the other day, so when do you know God answering your prayers? When you become the salt of the earth. And you see that communities are literally transformed because of the presence of God. You know what? We settle for second best. I was at Malmesbury 2 weeks ago. And you know, it was so precious. Just seeing, coming into the congregation. And God gave me a word. Listen, just tell the people they're not the tail, they're the head. And I could just see how they lift their heads and responded and saying, listen, this town is up for the taking. It's time that we just possess the land. God has given this place to us. But you know what? If there's two things that the devil would come against the apostolic church for, is the unity of the church and the power of the church. The manifestation of the fullness of God the Father. Because if we are disempowered and not seeing the fullness of the power of God manifested through testimonies and works within our lives, we become a dead church. Yeah. We might just as well leave church. Yeah. And if the devil can come against us and break our unity, I can tell you, this church would be nothing. You know, just looking at what's happening now in the news, and I don't know who's right and wrong. I don't want to even speculate about it, about this guy, the Blade Runner. But it was beautiful, Oscar Pistorius. It was beautiful what I saw just yesterday walking in Spa. I saw his dad said, "Listen, my son, we'll stick this one through with you till the end. It doesn't matter, right or wrong, we don't know what's going on in Oscar Pistorius' life, but I can tell you, when you are in trouble like that, your family needs to stick around with you. And I can tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ at this time, and I'm not just talking about our church, is going through a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of onslaught coming against the church. And just listening in Durban now, again, about so many leaders that are falling at this time. And I can tell you what's happening is, it was beautiful at the AGM earlier in the year. One guy stood up and he said, Michael Giles, he said, "You know what? The test that our leaders are going through is not just the leaders, it's a test. It's a test for each one of us. And all of us must pass." And that is so true. I can tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ, being an apostolic church, and I can tell you, an apostolic church is the one that understands to go through hardship. Paul was an apostle, but he went through a lot of hardship. Peter was an apostle, but he went through a lot of hardship. If you want to be an apostolic church, you're going to go through a lot of hardship. But I can tell you, it's only the church that will withstand the hardship of the times that we are living in. That will be the church that will be able to run into victory into the end times. We must pray. We must pray for our leaders. We must pray for God's people to stand strong in this time. Because an apostolic church is the one who understands covenant in the midst of adversity. You know, for Oscar Pistorius, there's no issues for him and for his family to stand with him. We can sort it afterwards. But while you're going through this hell, we're standing with you. And I'm telling you, a church that understands the apostolic culture is the one who understands to go through every battle as victors of Christ. Collective maturity. Understanding that there's a battle that we must overcome. The beautiful thing, listening to the story of Billy Graham being at the age of 95, and you know, just the awesome things that God did through his life, was actually for me the prize at the end of his son walking to the front, coming to tell that, listen, we are still focused. Yes. My dad, 95, cannot focus so much on being at the Crusades, but you know what? The Billy Graham Foundation is just going beyond where it ever has. It's reaching millions and millions of people, and for me, that was apostolic. Understanding that God has given us a mandate, a vision, one who we know that God. We will not go astray because of hardship or difficulty, but one who understands that, God, we want to go beyond. The beauty of it is the Church of Smyrna, Revelations 2, verse 9. Understanding that God says it's not because of your possessions. It's not because of the hardship that you are going through, but your hearts are pure and in faith with me. Matthew 25, verse 6. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise said, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. I don't want to make life difficult for you today, but you know one thing that I do know is God is faithful, and he's raising up a generation who understands to stick it through till the end.
Amen.
Don't get your foot off the pedal. It's time to focus on having oil in your lamps. Listen to this scripture, and I'm ending off with it. Let's stand quickly. Can I ask Helmut, you quickly come to the front and read to us that scripture. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. God, this morning, as Helmut comes to the front, we want to stand before you, Father, as a prophetic proclamation that we want to be your apostolic church.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we want to choose to be a sending church,
yes,
that will never look, Father God, only to our own possessions and what you give to this church, but beyond it.
Amen.
Father, we as a church choose this morning to say that we want to do the works of the apostles.
Amen.
Of the first church.
Yes.
And this morning, Father, we choose to get to the place where we can collectively pull rank together and say that God, your will be done in this lifetime.
Amen.
And Jesus, we know that being an apostolic church is going to mean that we're going to get a lot of opposition.
Yeah.
But we don't want to miss out on your promises. Father, we'd rather be like Smyrna at a place where we are poor in possessions, but Father, so strong in you.
Amen.
And this day, Father, we draw the line and we say that, Father, we'd rather choose to be at a place, Father God, where we can be rest assured, because you say that you've anointed us to take good tidings in the name of Jesus. I want all of us to read it together with Helmut this morning. In your heart,
the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, because the Lord has anointed us to bring good news to the poor. He sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. We shall build up the ancient ruins. We shall raise up the former devastations. We shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I pray for every person here. Father, for every person being in the valley of decision, Father God, who sits at the place, Father, where they are like dry bones, and you are raising up an army, Father, to come alive again.
Yes, Lord.
And this morning I pray for every person standing here for an apostolic mandate to flow,
yes,
from their lives,
yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Father, and I want to pray this morning that you will commission us to go beyond, Father, just the place of doing what we do because we must do it. But when one where you birth within our spirits, Father God, a mandate to go and change our communities.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
As we stand here this morning, and I want you to keep your eyes closed. You know why? Because this morning it means that you are doing business with God. You know if you are in the valley of dry bones. You know that, you know, if you are even in your workplace, at a place where You know, you are not living a life of significance within within God's promises. And if that is you this morning, I want you to raise your hand just where you're standing. Is there any such person this morning? This morning we're going to pray for you. Amen. Amen. Trusting for more people this morning. Saying, I want to follow God. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Then I want to tell you, you know, time is few. Position yourself where you can receive God's greatness in your life. If you've raised your hand, I want to ask you to quickly come to the front. Because this morning we want to pray over you. We want to trust that God is going to put within you an apostolic mandate. Just quickly, come to the front. Don't be afraid. You are great, oh God. You are awesome. You are far, Father God, bigger than our imaginations. This morning, Father God, we want to pray for your sons and daughters, Father God, that commit themselves. And I want to ask just quickly people, come and pray with them. Just surround them quickly. Father, we want to stand before you this morning in the name of Jesus. And Father, we want to consecrate these people unto you. And Father, we want to say that this is the day of the Lord over your life. We want to come to, Father God, to the valley of dry bones. And Father, we want to speak life over it in the name of Jesus. Father God, we want to speak today, Father God, a day of decision. And Father, you're going to do awesome stuff. We embrace it today in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, if you don't know the greatness of God, if you're standing here and you know that you are living a life of emptiness, I don't want you to leave this place. Because it's awesome to serve Jesus. It's just awesome to have Him being the Lord of your life. It's just awesome to stand in this morning and, you know, watching the kids and just the way in which they surrender themselves to the moment. And I want to ask you, don't leave this place. If you don't allow God to do His full work in you. If you're here and you know that there's an emptiness in your heart, then I want to ask you to quickly come to the front. Is there any such person? Don't walk out of this place today. Father, we thank you for your presence. Father, we thank you for your sweet fragrance in this place. I want to pray that you'll take us out from here to become an apostolic church. The one who does the work, Father God, from Pentecost in the upper room, Father, to Azusa Street, Father God, to the nations beyond, Father, to an apostolic movement, Father God, that waits upon your second coming. We want to embrace your second coming, and Father, we want to say, Jesus, come, Jesus, come. Help us to bring in the lost so that in this last days, Jesus, seeing what's going on in the Middle East, we want to trust that you will get thousands of people in the Middle East saved at this time. We ask you for that portion. Father, I want to ask you for this generation that they will not go astray. That many young people, like what we've seen this morning, Father, so many young people getting excited, Father, about your house again. I ask you for this generation. That you will bring them in, Father, so that they will serve you with fervency. We pray, Father God, for an apostolic mandate, Father, to go to the nations and to see the nations, Father God, getting saved. I pray for Africa at this time. Father, I want to pray with my brothers and sisters here that this continent will be the breadbasket to the world. It will not just be the tail, it will be the head. And Father, we pray that in this Father, continent that is harassed with Islam and, Father God, so many opposition, Father God, and even just the raping of its resources. I want to pray, Father, that it will be restored, Father, to be the breadbasket. And I pray for many people to get saved on this continent, Father. And I pray that people will go from South Africa to many parts of Africa, Father God, and bring back the gospel to its fruit in the name of Jesus. I want to pray for Tigerberg right now, Father God, the Tiger. I want to pray for this school, Father. Because we are here, they will have the light and the salt of the earth. Thank you, Father God, watching the candles this morning in the foyer. Just realizing that, Father, it's because you've sent us here, Father, that there's an open door and that there's open heavens. And Father, we pray for this school. We pray, Father, that many awesome manifestations of your presence will happen in this place. I want to pray, Father, for the schoolmaster, that you will anoint his forehead, Father, to proclaim the gospel, and that you will prosper him because of it. I want to pray, Father, for this community that we are in. Give us the opportunity, Father God, to really show the earth your glory. Let us be the light in the name of Jesus. Let us be the apostolic church, Father God, not settling for second best, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to thank you. We can end off with a song, Dale. And I want to ask you, for those of you that still wants to worship, let us just stay in an act of worship. If you need some prayer, we'll be here in front. For those who wants to go and enjoy some coffee, please do so. But let's end off in a song and just glorify God's name. Amen.